Hello, everyone, and welcome to Plattwoods Church Online. My name is Evie Martin. I'm the lead pastor here. Our At the Movies sermon series is well underway this week. We have spent the month of August crossing over into stories that inspire and entertain our culture. Because often, stories in the movies help us see something a little more clearly through the eyes of faith. We find truth and love, self-sacrifice and courage, hope and redemption permeating the silver screen. And so we recognize that the Spirit of God sometimes shows up there too. We are all theologians, people living and moving within the story of God and the world. And so we can always be looking for where God shows up in the art and artistry of our world. Today, we will dive into the story of the Disney animated hit of 2021, Encanto. And truth be told, we're not the first church to preach a sermon on themes from this movie. Encanto is so rich with imagery and metaphor and ritual and redemption that I know pastors who did month-long series on this one movie, but we'll try to give it an honest effort here in just one message. For those who haven't seen the movie, first of all, just go watch it. It's totally worth your time, no matter what age you are. I promise you will cry, you might even dance a little, or at least tap your toes. But at the center of this movie is the Madrigal family, who live in an enchanted house in an enchanted valley somewhere in the mountains of Colombia, an Encanto, a place of wonder. This Encanto is protected by the miracle that was given to the abuela, the grandmother, of the Madrigal family as she and her husband Pedro and their three babies tried to flee the conflict and violence of their little town. Pedro is lost at the hands of the invaders, but a miraculous and mysterious candle appears, a candle which never burns out, the perpetual source of the miracle. And then the Encanto rises up around Abuela and the refugees so they no longer have to flee. In the years that follow, Abuela's three children and then their children, the Madrigal family, each receive a magical gift. Things like supernatural strength or the ability to hear everything or healing ailments and injuries with arepas and biscuits. Gifts that are given to benefit the family and the community beyond the walls of their home, gifts that perpetuate the miracle. Now, right off the bat, like 3 minutes into this movie, any nerdy church people like me pick up on this theme of gifts. This is the writings of Paul coming to life on the screen right in front of us. There are several places in his letters in the New Testament where Paul describes the church, the household of God, as having people with all different kinds of gifts. We'd call them gifts of the Spirit, of course, and they may not seem as cool as being able to talk to animals or making flowers grow wherever you pleased, but the intent of the spiritual gifts Paul describes is similar. In Ephesians, when he describes these gifts, he says, "God has given his grace to each one of us, measured out by the gift that is given by Christ." And later he goes on, "He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. His purpose was to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ." In other places in his writings, Paul includes the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, discernment, and yes, even the power to do miracles. But in all of that long list, the most important thing for us to know is not the gifts themselves, but the purpose for which they are given. Did you hear it in the last verse? His purpose was to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ. The gifts are intended to make the entire body, all the people together, whole. They're not meant to be used for one person's good, or to be overused by the whole body because other people aren't willing to share their gift. One gift is not supposed to be held up above others as better or more valuable. All the gifts together, freely given and generously shared, are what makes the body whole. In the movie, we see the Encanto begin to falter when the gifts are misused. Everyone wants Luisa to do all the heavy lifting for them because she's so strong, until all that pressure starts to get to her. She has no strength left for herself. Isabella's flowers may be what Abuela thinks are perfect, but they're not what can make the house most beautiful. When the gifts that are given aren't used for the purpose of serving and building up the whole, cracks begin to form in the Casa Madrigal. But I'm getting too far ahead. Everyone in the bloodline has received some amazing, miraculous gift, and a door to an enchanted bedroom to go with it. Everyone, that is, except Mirabel. Mirabel's gift ceremony, when she was a little girl, didn't go so well. No magical gift was given. No door was enchanted. And no one could understand why. And so, life went on. Except that Mirabel lives with this constant internal nagging that she is less than the others. You can't tell it from the outside. She is joyful, jubilant, always trying to help, singing the praises of her magical family and delighting in how wonderful they all are. But on the inside, she's fully aware that her family, especially her abuela, the community around, the curious kids in the neighborhood, even her favorite little cousin know that there's something different about her, something not special. In spite of that silent burden that she carries, she wants the best for her family. And she puts her own troubles aside time and time again to be strong and to be encouraging for others. We see her character emerge powerfully in this scene with her cousin Antonio. It's the evening of his gift ceremony. He's nervous as all get out because there hasn't been a gift ceremony since Mirabel's, and as we know, it didn't go well. So no one knows what's going to happen tonight. And Antonio is feeling the pressure.
Nervous? You have nothing to worry about. You're gonna get your gift and open that door, and it's gonna be the coolest ever. I know it.
What if it doesn't work?
Well, in that impossible scenario, you'd stay here in the nursery with me
forever.
And I'd get you all to myself.
I wish you could have a door.
You know what? You don't have to worry about me. Because I have an amazing family. And an amazing house. And an amazing you. And seeing you get your special gift and your door, that's gonna make me way more happy than anything.
Antonio gets a gift. He can communicate with animals. The whole family and town go crazy. They are delighted. The miracle remains intact. The Encanto will go on. And in a painful moment, then, Abuela gathers everyone together for a family photo, but they all forget Mirabel. Mirabel doesn't belong.
I knew you could do it. A gift just as special as you. We need a picture.
Everyone, come, 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 come.
It's a great night. It's a perfect night.
Everyone, together.
La familia Madrigal.
Everything seems to be perfect once more. Except that very night, during the celebration of Antonio's gift, the magical house begins to crack. It may seem like the gift magic is back, but like I said before, the gifts aren't being used as they were intended. Their purpose has been misconstrued over the years, and so the candle flickers and the floor tiles and adobe walls start to crumble for a moment. Something is wrong with the miracle. Mirabel knows it. Abuela knows it, but she won't admit it. So Mirabel begins her quest to save the miracle. Maybe that will be her contribution to the family. Maybe that's her gift. In her quest, though, she soon encounters another family misfit. She discovers her Uncle Bruno living inside the walls of the house. Everyone in the family thinks he left years ago, his gift of visions being too difficult for the family to understand. But he never left. He just got the message that he didn't quite belong. So now these two misfits, one with no gift and one with a strange gift, have found each other. They don't fit the mold, and there doesn't seem to be a place for them in the house, even though they both desperately want to be there.
Forbidden.
I don't understand why you left
but didn't leave.
Oh, well, because, you know, the mountains around the Encanto are pretty tall, and like, you know, like I said, free food and everything.
Yeah, you guys love the free food, don't you? It's always hungry, never satisfied.
Yeah, my gift wasn't helping the family, but I love my family, you know? I just don't know how to...
Well, anyway, I think you should go because I don't really have a good reason. But if I did, you'd be like, I should go because that's a good reason.
I had a good friend and coworker years ago before I became a pastor. He basically helped me survive my year working at a law firm in St. Louis. I eventually went off to seminary, but then years later ended up serving a church just down the street from that law firm where we had both worked. I invited him to come to that church many times, but he'd always joke, "Evie, I'd love to hear your talk." He never called it preaching, he just called it a talk. "But if I set foot in a church, lightning would burn it all down. I don't think you want that." He was trying to be funny. You maybe have heard people say things like that before, but the feeling behind it was real. He and his boyfriend, whose father was a pastor in another tradition, had been told in no uncertain terms that there was no place for them in a church. I assured him over and over again that the church would not be struck by lightning, and I'd love for him to come. He never came. He never believed he belonged. The United Methodist Church uses the beautiful phrase sacred worth in our Book of Discipline. It says the United Methodist Church acknowledges that all persons are of sacred worth. In the United Methodist Church, no conference or other organizational unit of the church shall be structured so as to exclude any member or any constituent body of the church because of race, color, national origin, status, or economic condition. We have written into our governance that everyone who says yes to Jesus' invitation to come and see has a place to belong in our church. And yet, the greater church, the United Methodist Church included, have still sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, sent a message to so many different people, my friend among them, that their gifts aren't useful here. They don't fit. They don't belong. We have denied their sacred worth. For me, Mirabel and her uncle Bruno stir deep compassion for those who find themselves looking in at the table. I cry at that scene every single time. That image of the table and the connection to the table of Christ are not lost on me. They stand there together, Mirabel and Bruno, wishing that they were welcome, knowing that they are not. I can't help but wonder if the church, and I mean the church as a whole ecumenical institution, and I mean the church in particular locations, like right here at Plattwoods, has the church held on to its own best interests as an institution? Has it tried to preserve some image or majesty, the facade of something holy and perfect and polished, at the painful expense and the exclusion of people who have needed it the most? Who has not found a place in the body of Christ because they didn't quite fit? Queer folks, like my friend. Skeptics who don't know what they believe about anything, but they think we have it all figured out in here. Neighbors here in the Northland whose first language isn't English. Do we sing any songs that they know? Neurodivergent people who interact with and interpret the world in unique ways. Older adults who never gave church a second thought, who don't know a single Bible story, but their grandchildren want them to come. There are plenty of people who feel they are misfits and they don't belong in the family of God. Perhaps because the family of God has forgotten that we are all misfits. We only fit because God made a place for us. Shouldn't that be the image we try to uphold? Ultimately, the whole Casa Madrigal falls. Every last brick crumbles to the ground as the conflict escalates between Abuela's expectations for her perfect, magical family and Mirabel's desire to be seen, included, and loved even without a special gift. The house falls and the miraculous candle goes out along with everyone's magical gifts. It takes the complete undoing of her seemingly perfect home for Abuela to step into a truly honest space about her own faults and fears. There is a reckoning about her past, the pressure she put on herself and her family, and the reality that she was the one stifling the miracle all along. In a scene of reconciliation with Mirabel, Abuela finally sees what she couldn't see before. Mirabel didn't have a gift. Mirabel was the gift. In that recognition and reconciliation, the rebuilding begins. The family, no magical gifts left to make the work easy, pick up brick after brick and put the house back together. But they don't do it alone. The community, the townspeople who have looked in from the outside of this Madrigal miracle for so long, realize that they have a part in it too. And they bring their tools and their sweat and their song, and they rebuild the house for this now very ordinary family. When the work is nearly complete, there is one piece left to install. The family looks to Mirabel, the misfit, who they now can see was the one to save their miracle after all, because she learned that she herself was the gift.
You're the real gift, kid. Let us in.
Open your eyes. Abre los ojos. What do you see?
I see me, all of me.
And that truth pushes us deeper into our own story. It pushes us past Paul's language about the spiritual gifts used to build up the family of God. Yes, that is true. The gifts are given to build up, but not without the more fundamental truth of how God sees us to begin with. In God's eyes, we are the gift. Nothing we bring to the table makes us more or less valuable in God's eyes. Nothing we do, no special talent or possession or charisma earns us favor in the eyes of the love that created us. You are the gift. And therefore, you belong here. In the old, old words of our story, Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. He made us. We belong to him." There's no caveat there. No, we belong to him if. We belong because God made us. And then in the prophet Isaiah, we hear, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." We belong because God redeemed us. God knows our name and calls us. Dare we rephrase it in Mirabel's words? God says to us, "I see you, all of you." The name Mirabel means wondrous beauty. We are made and redeemed by God, and we exist as gift to the whole family of God as a result. We lose our way when we lose sight of that identity as a cherished gift of God, wondrous beauty of God. And then the household of God is fractured and broken. Wouldn't it be incredible if the church's sole purpose was to hand everyone that doorknob, to return those who don't believe that they belong to their unfettered identity as cherished gift, wondrous beauty of God? Wouldn't it be incredible if the church's sole purpose was to return those who don't believe they belong to their unfettered identity as cherished gift, wondrous beauty of God? What a stunning, miraculous house this might be. An Encanto, perhaps. A place of wonder. Will you pray with me? The miracle is not some magic that you've got. The miracle is you. God, in our insecurity and in our insufficiency, help us to hear you. Call us by our name. Speak louder your loving words. You are mine. Remind us that we are gift. Our very life and breath, our quirks and idiosyncrasies, our imperfections and our beauty, they are gift to this community. And strengthen us in the gifts that you've given us by your Spirit. Show us how we might use them here, building up this household of faith. What can we offer that others might need? And then what can we receive from them? In all these things, keep our eyes turned toward the other, the outsider, the one looking in, wishing there was a place for them at the table. May we not hesitate to rearrange the furniture, set another place, welcome with open arms the beloved gift they are. In the name of Jesus, our light, our miracle. Amen.